Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so for your son and his willingness to come and be the sacrifice for us, that we might have life, that we might have a future beyond comprehension, and unending, Father, with you and with your son, the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for this provision that could not be improved in any way. And Father, we ask that as we study tonight that we would have understanding and insight into your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's start off in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 again. It's wonderful how much is packed into these two verses, okay? We looked at them, but let's review this. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one, okay? So right away we start out with nobody in the body of Christ is left out, each one, every single person, okay? As each one has received a special gift, everyone of all of those has received a special gift. The next thing, employ it. It's not to just be sitting around unused. It's to be used. How? In serving one another. This is all about the body of Christ. It wasn't given to me to serve me. It was given to me to serve the body of Christ, and whatever gift you have is given to you to serve the body of Christ. That's what it's about, okay? That's what we're here for. Very, very different than maybe the way we were raised and the way, certainly different than the way the world thinks. You know, anything you got, it's all about you, and it's for building you up and for your glory. Well, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. And then the next thing, as good stewards. Remember, a steward is chosen by someone, hired by someone to take care of what belongs not to the steward, but to the person employing him. And so, really important thing, in a real sense, this is not your gift. Now, I know you can argue with me. Well, it is my gift. Well, okay, yeah. But the gift belongs to God. It's his. You're the steward of it, which tells us right away, he owns the gift. He's given it to you to use on his behalf and to bring profit out of that gift, okay? Old Testament verse, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to what? Profit. I love that. God's for profit, okay? Yeah. As good stewards of the manifold or the many-sided, many-faceted grace of God. This is all flows to us. We'll be getting into this some more, but this comes to us by way of the grace of God, which is given to us because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever speaks, so if you got a speaking gift, there's a number of those, is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Again, we're stewards. We're to be speaking that which is from God, his word, communicating that. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. Total reliance on God in these situations, because in the, whether it's serving or speaking or whatever it is, you're going to be in over your head. You know, God delights in stretching us beyond because it's his power and his strength and his gift. So I love that concept. Okay, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified. Now, here's this thing. God may be glorified. That's what it's about. And yet, like I started off earlier saying, we so often are just here to glorify ourselves. I mean, in our own mind, we're proud and we want to be built up. We want to be well thought of. We have all of these things going on, but we're here, and until we understand this, until we, I guess I would say, on board, you know, in other words, get up in the morning and say, what am I here for? You know, am I here for me? Because oftentimes, you know, I'll be honest, oftentimes we live our lives, I live my life like I'm here for me, you know, just doing what I want to do when I want to do it, and versus I'm here to glorify God. That's what this whole universe is about, is to glorify God. Does he deserve it? See, that's the question it comes down to. Is he worthy of this glory? Is it right that he should get the glory and not me? You know, those are important things to come to grips with as far as how we're going to live as believers in Jesus Christ. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom, notice this, belongs, it's his, he owns it, okay, to whom belongs the glory and dominion, the reign forever and ever. Notice, to whom belongs the glory. I love this chain of, I guess we could say events, divine events. So let's follow this path of to whom belongs the glory, Jesus Christ, God the Father. Let's start in John chapter 7, where we have this very interesting event. So here we are in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood. I've tried to picture this. There are certain things that, at least in our culture, are acceptable, and things that are like, whoa, you know. I remember being somewhere where this guy just, I didn't realize what was going on, but he's losing his temper, and he starts yelling and screaming, and he picks up a chair and throws it through the front glass. He was like, whoa. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, can you picture it? Saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit gives us some commentary on what has just been said. But this, what Jesus just said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him, notice the tense here, were to receive, future, okay, Pentecost and on. You see that? But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given in the same way that it is now to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit permanently, okay? For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he wasn't glorified as he walked the earth here, and then his victory is won, and he's glorified, and that glorification unlocks all of this giving to the body of Christ, these magnificent things, including gifts. Okay? But I want you to go next to Isaiah 53, verse 12, which will back here in that great chapter, just about to the end of that chapter, and I'm going to go to verse 11. As a result of the anguish of his soul, Jesus Christ on the cross, he will see it, God the Father, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, again, Jesus Christ, will justify the many. as he will bear their iniquities. We talked about this morning in the goat. Okay. Then it says this. So here's the cross. My servant will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, because of that, I, certainly the Father in view, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong. Part of his glorification is what? Okay, now, you know, military picture here. So, you know, the castle's been stormed and taken over, and once you get it secured and so forth, what are you doing? You're looking for good stuff. You know, you're looking for, you know, a weapon to take home or a bar of gold or whatever it is. You're looking for this. And so it uses that. And the Father is saying, I will allot him a portion with the great. Of course, he's going to be glorified. And he will divide the booty, plunder, with the strong, with those who have been made strong by his grace and bought with a price. Okay, so it goes on, it says, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Okay, well, then go from there to Psalm 68. And we're going to come down to verse 18. Psalm 68. Again, a prophetic, messianic word here. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captive thy captives. This is quoted in Ephesians, as we'll see. But then it says this. Thou hast received gifts among men. That's the part that I want. Thou hast received gifts. Jesus Christ wins the victory. Isaiah says what? I will allot him a portion with the great. He will divide the booty with the strong. Okay, so given to him. All right, then we'll go from there to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we'll come down to verse 7 and 8, where again we have this each again. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He received the gifts from the Father to do what with? To give them. To divide the booty with the strong. And, you know, you come to Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 1, says we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything already made available. Why? That's the glorification of Christ and the spreading out of those things and the giving of those things. And I think, I'm convinced I too often live like a pauper, you know, when I have all of these wonderful, wonderful things given to me, spiritually speaking, wonderfully. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, where we're going to come back into 1 Corinthians 12. So how do all this come to us? It says, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because what? Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus becomes glorified. And day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's given to every believer. And from then on, little kids, old people, everybody receives of the Holy Spirit. Comes to indwell them the moment and seals them. Okay, it's a promise of wonderful, wonderful things to come. Okay, all right, so for by one Spirit, couple things mentioned here. We were all baptized, placed into, placed in union with. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. What's that body? The body of Christ, which is the church. Okay. So now we all become what? Members of each other. You know? And we'll be getting to this. I'm constantly amazed at how my, and I've mentioned this often, but how my body in a crisis situation comes to the aid of whatever is in trouble. You know, if I'm, you think about what your body does if you are falling off of a ladder. You know, you probably shouldn't do that, but what you think about, there's no part of your body that's saying, hey, it's not me. You know, he's going to land on his right elbow, and I don't care about that. You know, so, and you think of sometimes that's our attitude in the body, shouldn't be, but, you know, well, it's not me, you know. And instead of weeping with those who weep and rejoice with those, and if one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers, you know, the whole thing there. And I love it when, you know, you see something flying toward your face, you know, something comes off a wheel or whatever, and boy, you're... Hands are coming up. You know, if you ever had to think it through, you'd be blind a long time ago, you know, but you don't have to think. The entire body is just in motion to take care of you. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, doesn't matter, whether slaves or free, doesn't matter. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Here's the other side. Not only were we all placed into one body, but we also became partakers of the Holy Spirit. Okay, every one of us partaker of the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I want you to come down to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want you to come all the way to, let's see, pick it right up at verse 12. Back up one verse. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, that's now, you know, a comparison again of the physical body with the body of Christ and all of us being part of that body. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. He's the head, we're the body. Where you're some part in that body, okay? For by one Spirit, that explains it. We were all baptized into one body. That's how we got there, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not some event subsequent to your salvation. It's an event that takes place the moment you put your faith in Christ. Because if it didn't, you're not in Christ. You're still in Adam. And if you're still in Adam, you're still condemned. You know, I can never believe it when... people hold to this, you know, subsequent baptism of the Holy Spirit. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? You know, I mentioned this before, but when I was down at Oratown preaching one Sunday night, and young kids were really excited about the teaching of the Word, and they'd been coming, and I really liked these kids, and they come up afterwards, and they said, "So when did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, the moment I believed in Christ, you know. And I said, and I know what you're asking, so I'll come out right now and tell you, I have never spoken in tongues, you know. And that was it. They never came back again. They were gone, you know, just gone. They don't follow through. And I, you know, I've said this so many times. I can remember years ago reading a study of the Word by a charismatic in a group of people who believed this subsequent baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this guy pointed out it can't be that way. And I didn't cut that out or save it, because he just said everything falls apart if you don't see this correctly, the way it's presented in Scripture. Okay, so here we go, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. I love these pictures here. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, you're doing this in your head, what this is saying, you know, well, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not a Sunday school teacher, or I'm not a, you know, whatever it is. And this is, this study should give us such caution as to how we view other people and their gifts. You know what I mean? Because it's very easy to say, well, I've got this gift, and view other people in light of your own gift. Instead of recognizing, notice the variety in your human body. And that's what the Holy Spirit through Paul is going to develop, is what do you want to do without? You know, you really want to lose your spleen? You know, you really want to lose your liver? You know, there are all these parts, and as Paul's going to mention, and some of them are not very attractive at all. You know what I mean? They're, if somebody had to handle your intestine, they're not going to be that impressed, you know? And you know, you think of a beautiful girl and her beautiful face and that, and the beautiful eyes in comparison to a liver. You know, but what are you going to do without? You know, okay. So verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, and this just gets crazy. Have you ever think this through? You think of an eye that's it. I just love that. You know, sitting on a kitchen table, you know, and it's got, it's not, it's just an eye, and it's not even going to work because it's not connected to a brain. There's no optic nerve. You know, all this other stuff is missing, and that's the whole point. You want the whole thing to be an eye? And now, don't think I'm strange, because that's what Paul's saying, isn't it? He's saying, what if it was all an eye? What if it was just giant ear? You know, it's just, I can't read it without laughing. All right. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? All these intricate systems. But now get this. Here's what an important verse, verse 18. But now God has placed the members of the body, in other words. Now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Whoa. So if you got a problem with a God-given gift that somebody has, you better back off, because God says, I put that person, and you think about how necessary these gifts are and all the different personalities that come with these gifts. You know what I mean? Where we're called on to remember that person is every bit as much a part of the body and as important in the body as I am, maybe more, you know, in a sense, more. And I better realize that God put that person in, that he wanted them there. That's an incredible thing. And I love it to bring it down to a local church, you know. These people that are here in this local church, who put them there? You know, God did. Okay. But now, verse 18, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And if they were all one member, here we are again, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, now this is a great principle. It is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And again, I don't know exactly how to do that, but to me, that's talking about these things that are so important and they're unattractive. You know, you want to give up your heart, you want to give up your lungs, you want to, you know, those are incredibly important things. And the whole body is thriving on those things. And I think about how, what story is going to be told when we're all in heaven? And we find out, I was just mostly a spokesman. but there was things behind, there were people with gifts behind the scenes that I couldn't have done anything without them, you know? To me, it's very much like, I was talking with a buddy the other day, and a Marine Corps buddy, and he was talking about how one of these guys says, I don't even like to talk to anybody that hasn't been in combat. You know, and the whole idea being, and he was in it, there's no doubt about that, but the whole idea being, they don't have my respect. And I got thinking about that. And the first thing that slammed me was David and the baggage situation. Remember that? There's certain guys that are too tired and they can't go after Ziklag's been sacked and so forth. And so they stay by the baggage. And when they come back, they got all kinds of plunder and everything. And the men that went got that same attitude. We're not giving anything to any of these people. We'll give them their wives and their children back. But we're keeping the plunder. And David said, that's wicked. And so I was talking with this guy that ran, I've talked about him before. He ran the convoys that supplied me and all of us up in the by the DMZ. And it was a hard, hard job, big 120 truck convoys every day coming up. The boats bring it into the Quaviet River and they unload it. And he told me the other day, I didn't know this. You know, you're just out there eating the stuff that comes your way and shooting the bullets and doing all. And he said, everything that you ever got in Vietnam came across that landing there where the boats came and loaded it on trucks. And it came all the way up to Vandegrift Combat Base and these other places. And I just thought, I couldn't have done anything. You know, I could not have done anything. You can't. And then I want to liken that to this whole thing of who you depended on. Those gifts that God says he put there. He knows what's best. We're talking about God's omniscience. He put the right people in the right place for the right time to serve the body of Christ. So, verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our unseemly members, not attractive, come to have more abundant seemliness. You know, then we start to realize how absolutely important they are, whereas our seemly members have no need of it. You know, the people that are, you know, well thought of, well spoken of, you know, they got a gift that's, you know, out there and everybody thinks well of them, you know, and it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. How's God going to even that all up? You know what I mean? And I think about, there's these people that are such prayer warriors. You know, some old lady somewhere. My mom was one. It makes me cry. My mom was one. She prayed for our kids. One kid, 45 minutes a day. I remember Jonathan saying when she went to be with the Lord, now what am I going to do? But how can you put into, you can't comprehend the value of that, you know? And it's so much, to me, I'm sure I'm right, it's so much greater than some of us that are just running here and there, spinning our wheels, and, you know, and we're busy this, busy that, and so forth, and yet there's somebody, maybe some buddies, you know, that are praying, just constantly upholding. And where would you be without that prayer, you know? Oh my. Okay. Verse 24, whereas our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, that there should be no divisions in the body. Not important people and not important people. You know, everybody is absolutely necessary. But that the member should have, should have the same care for one another. In other words, that we should look at each other and say, I need you. I need you. You are part of the body that I'm part of, and I'm for you. And I understand scripturally that I can't be what I'm supposed to be without you, you know. And therefore, as I'm walking with the Lord, I'll do whatever's necessary to honor you and love you and support you. It's so, when you get this in perspective, it's so easy to get caught up in some petty little thing. I don't like the way this guy does this. I don't like the way he does his hair, you know, or whatever, you know. And listen, this person's in the body of Christ. And let's be mindful of these things spiritually, you know. This is what God has done. And it's a magnificent thing. Okay. So here we go, verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. What a, you know, when I get that gut pain, you know, my whole body is, it's not the rest of the body saying, well, where is this a piece of cake for us? You know, it encompasses your whole being, if you know what I mean. You know, it just grabs a hold of you. And so that's a picture of what we're supposed to do when we've got a member of the body that's hurting, you know. So it says, and if one member suffers, verse 26, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Oh, what a grand thing. And God has appointed in the church, and this is early church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. And then Paul asks this question, all are not apostles, are they? And then all are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? He gives, and the answer is every time, what? No, no, no. All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. So that's that verse leads right into chapter 13. And isn't it interesting that chapter 13, you know, you can go to so many places and somebody will have it embroidered and it's on the wall, you know, love is patient, love is kind, and a wonderful passage. And it's considered to be the love passage. But it's really about the gifts. You know, that's why the context is that it was put in here, and the way this starts off, we'll just look at this a little bit and then finish up next time. But verse 1, Paul says this. Now, notice what he said at the end of chapter 12, and I show you a still more excellent way. Okay, so now we're going to see what's the most what's the most important aspect of my use of my gift? Okay? And so he says, and he uses these over-the-top illustrations of these individual gifts. He says, so the first thing he's going to talk about is tongues. And he said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So here's a person that has the gift of tongues, early church, and they're actually, in this illustration, speaking an angelic language. I mean, you know, as far as tongues goes, that's got to be top of the line, I guess. You know, how do you get better than that? Okay. And he says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, what is that actually like? Now get this. He's still speaking the tongue that is coming from the Holy Spirit, and there's still a revelation going on with the interpreter and so forth. But if he's not doing it in love, it doesn't benefit him. In other words, it's not the proper use of his gifts. He compares it to this. He says, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, picture some, 7-year-old kid gets a thing of cymbals and he's walking around the house and you're about ready to strangle him, you know, because he's just smashing these things together. And that's what it's like. I mean, that's a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Okay, the next one. This is the one that just absolutely grabs me as a pastor. And if I have the gift of prophecy, in other words, the telling forth of the word of God, and know all mysteries. You know how many times people come to me and ask me something? I don't know. I don't. I have an opinion or whatever. It's not in cement by any matter of means. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, well, to me, it can't get any better than that, you know. But this is what he says. I mean, he's already going into, so we'll go into that next. What about faith? Can you imagine? Notice this faith. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. Actually, you could go outside and say, watch this. Bang, gone. You know, hill on the other side of the road there. Just staggering example. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. Even though it's pretty clear the gift is still operating. It is a real warning because it's a clear teaching that the gift is going to operate, but it can be done not in love. And then the benefit to me, the reward or whatever, is not going to be there. And he goes on, he says, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, suppose I take everything I own and sell it and then give all of that money to feed the poor, and I don't have love, that would be what gift? The gift of giving, okay? If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and then he adds this, and if I deliver my body to be burned, I take that to be a martyr. Mm-hmm. You know, I suppose you could be a martyr, you know, just on the basis of being a tough guy or wanting I love that, but at the end of Braveheart, where they're talking about, you know, let's die in a great way, you know, let's do this justice. Let's do it in an honorable way. Well, if I'm not doing it out of love for the body of Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ, motivated by the right reason, if I'm doing it because I love me, you know, and I want to be a legend or whatever, then that's missing the point, you know. And if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And then it starts to talk about love's patient. How do we deal with each other in the body of Christ? You know, Love is patient. And there's probably a considerable number of us that would test your patience. You know what I mean? And yet love is patient. And love is kind. Not jealous. You think of the body, and now here's the body, and this person's getting, they're getting a lot of attention. I always remember this lady, she wasn't a believer, her son is a believer, and this lady was so arrogant and wanting all the attention. If she was in a room, she'd just grab it up, you know? And so there was another lady who was a believer, and she had been through some incredible suffering. And so the son of this lady and this woman who had been suffering, they're talking and going over all that she'd been through and how the Lord had taken care of her. And all of a sudden, this other lady said, "Enough about her. Let's talk about me." He said, "Come on." Well, okay. You know, that's the flesh. You know, in this case, she didn't try to cover it up. It was just the way it was, you know. And not embarrassed to say that, you know, just let's talk about me, because that's what it's about. We'll stop there and we'll pick this up next time. Father, how we thank you for your magnificent grace and for the whole forming of this body of Christ, that we should have the privilege of being part of that body forever and ever, the bride of Christ to be. And what a grand thing you've done. Father, we thank you for our local body and just the privilege of being part of that. Lord, may we love and walk consistent with the things that we've talked about tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.